The following message is brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton.
You know what I look forward to every single week? There are several things that I look forward to before church, but one of them is because, you know, Jim and Misty and the praise team and Monty and I do not get together and, you know, decide how it's all going to flow because the Holy Spirit lives in each of us, so we're convinced that the Holy Spirit can speak to each of us what needs to be said. So I love seeing how the Lord fits in the praise, the introduction, and the sermon. And I could have just left after Jim and Misty because they pretty much just said what I'm going to say, but I'm going to say it with more words.
Amen.
And I... I like things to be real, like, straightforward and cut and dried, but this message is probably two messages, because as I was listening to Monty last week, when he talked about developing our faith and the three keys, I was like, ooh, we need to kind of pull those apart and dig into those three keys. But as I was working on the message, I really felt like I'm going to give you a long introduction as to why things are hard right now for Christians in the world, because there is a very big misconception that is being corrected in the Christian world about why bad things happen. There are people who still think that bad things happen because God is punishing them. They don't know the God of the Bible. They've probably had poor teaching. They probably read the Old Testament and went, ooh, and applied it to today. So I want to just dispel that real quick. And for my awesome media team, I want you to know that I didn't give you the first verses because I'm just going to reference them and I don't want you to go there. I'll let you know when I'm starting in and I need the verses. So I'm just going to reference, but I put these verses in your notes so you can look at them. Because when we look around, both in the physical and the spiritual, when we look around in our lives and when we look around the world, we are seeing attacks and battle and warfare everywhere. The past 2 weeks for my family has been exceptionally intense. And I know a lot of you, and I know a lot of you have been going through exceptionally intense things. So it's not just us. It's widespread, right? Why? Biggest, firstest, most important. We have an enemy.
Yes.
He hates God and he hates everything God loves and everything God does. We have an enemy who is coming against us. 1 Peter 5:8. This enemy roams around like a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. John 10:10. This enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. There's way more verses than that, but I just want you to have a couple to go on. We have an enemy. He is coming against every good thing that God wants for us and against us. We need to know that. Sometimes we or other people in our lives make poor choices, choices that are outside of what God has said to do or what are his precepts. There's consequences to those choices. When somebody doesn't watch and pulls out in front of you, you might get in a wreck, right? When somebody forgets to check the brakes, they might not work very well. You may not have forgotten to check them, but you may be affected. There are things that happen in the world due to choice and mistakes. God talks about us as soldiers. 2 Timothy 2:3. Endure suffering with me as a good soldier in Christ. Ephesians 6:13, take up the whole armor of God. Ephesians 6:12, we battle not with flesh and blood, but principalities and powers of darkness. So God does not call us watchers. He does not call us spectators. He does not call us necessarily cheerleaders. He calls us soldiers. And this is one that I have to have my husband remind me of sometimes, and me, because I grew up thinking if you do the right things, only good things will happen to you. So when bad things happened, I thought either God was mad at me or I had made a mistake. But in fact, we have an enemy. We're in a battle. And let's say you're really a very skilled soldier. Are you never going to get a hit, a cut, a bruise, a scrape, a broken rib? No, because battle is intense, and you feel it, right? But he says we're good soldiers. He gives us armor. He gives us the way. how long do soldiers train? Do they just train for a little while and then they're good? They don't ever have to train anymore? That's another one for me. Like, well, I've done this. Well, but you have to keep doing it, right? You have to keep doing it and keep doing it and keep increasing and keep training. If you stop training, do you retain all your skill? No. And we need to take that mindset and apply it to whatever thing we're going through right now to remind ourselves how important it is to train. And that's going to be the developing the faith thing. God also talks about our time with him on earth is a race. It's a marathon. Hebrews 12:1, let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. We really love Eric and Debbie and generally think they're very intelligent people, but they've done a marathon for some reason, just because. Just Debbie's like, let's just because do it. Okay, we love you. You're awesome. In that marathon, the first week you guys trained, was it easy? No, it was not. Nor was the last week. It was probably a lot better than the first week. Now, when you got into the marathon, did you just breeze right through your 20-some miles? No. Did you get blisters? Yes, you did. Did you get side aches? Did your muscles feel shaky? Did you get a little dehydrated? Uh-huh. So they trained. How long did you guys train?
A year.
A year for one race. Just because. That's right. I'm actually quite impressed. I have never on purpose run for anything. But think about that. For one race, they every day did something to prepare them for that race. Even on the rest days, they were giving their body a break so they could go again and prepare. For one race. Our whole life is a race with the Lord, right? We got to keep doing all the things we're going to be talking about in a minute. In James 1, 2, and 4, Monty read it last week, it's counted all joy when these trials happen because exercising patience in trials perfects our faith. God takes, this is the God that we serve. God takes what the enemy means for evil, and he turns it for good. Romans 8, 28. All things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. And Matthew 19, 26, with God, all things. What is it, Jim? All things are possible. That's the God we serve. But we can't forget that we're in a battle. It is hard. But it's not impossible, because with God, all things are possible, right? So that was my a little bit long introduction, because I just want us to remember, God's not beating us over the head with our mistakes. We have an enemy, and there are things we can do. God has given us everything we need. There are things we can do that will be effective in that battle and in that race. And that's what we're now going to get to the meat of, is the whole developing. I love that word. So I looked up that word. Developing means growing and becoming more mature, advanced, or elaborate. Think about that in relationship to your faith and your ability to use the tools that God teaches you in Scripture to use in your day-to-day life. We want to grow and become more mature and advanced and elaborate with those. I think about, of course, we don't watch real battle. We watch movies, which are fun. I think about what it takes to be a soldier who is skilled. Some of David's main soldiers killed 600, 800 of the enemy in one sitting and couldn't get their hand off of the sword because it was glued to the sword. Those guys didn't just practice even for a year to get to that. Those guys were in a lot of battles to get to that point. As we go on with the Lord, we become that skilled. And we absolutely do. So the keys that Monty talked about last week, those three keys to abundant life as a Christian, are believe God, speak his word, obey, and act on his instructions. Sounds pretty easy, right? It's nice and simple. God doesn't give us complicated things. He doesn't. We're his kids. It is simple. It is not easy when you're doing it in battle, when you're doing it with some baggage that needs to be released off of you, when you're doing it against opposition. It is not easy. First, okay, guys, we're going to go to 1 Peter 1:13 in the NLT. So we're going to get started with the real stuff now. Awesome. 1 Peter 1:13, therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded. It doesn't mean don't have fun, but you don't go partying into a battle. I really doubt if Eric and Debbie partied the night before. I'm not sure that you would want a big old steak on your stomach and a lot of lemonade and a big potato, right? That's not really pre-run food. That's throw-up food if you're going to run, right? So there are seasons for rest. There are seasons to have fun. We always have joy in the Lord, but in the battles that we're facing, in the race that we're running, we need to understand how serious it is, how important it is to develop the ability to function in these situations. Let's look at 2 Timothy 2:15 in the Amplified. 2 Timothy 2:15. It says, study and be eager and do your utmost to present yourself to God, approved, tested by trial, a workman who has no cause to be ashamed, correctly analyzing and accurately dividing, rightly handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. There's a lot in that, guys. That's some real digging into scripture, some real listening to the Holy Spirit, some real conversation between other believers. How did this work for you? Some real taking in the word from the pulpit. What does the Lord mean in the Bible? All of those concepts, believing God, speaking his word, obeying and acting on his instructions, they each need to be developed on their own. They're a whole when you put them together, but how many times have you bumped up against an issue repetitively and you start to wonder if it's never going to happen? If you made a mistake, if you didn't have enough faith, if. How many times have you bumped up against those things and you have to remind yourself? You have to remind yourself of who God is. You have to remind yourself that you do, in fact, believe him. It takes practice in the heat of the moment. It takes practice in the long battle. I told Monty, at this point in time, we're in the long battle. I mean, Christians have always come up against opposition, but this is the first time we've ever been in the end times. This is a new battle for us as Christians. This is the final battle. This is the one that brings the biggest harvest in. So the enemy is fighting against us at his hardest. He doesn't have much time left. He's ticked off. And so it's the long battle. Let's talk about the first one, believing God. Romans 10:9 in the NLT. The Romans 10:9 says, if you openly declare... there's that speaking, that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Belief in your heart. It's speaking it and believing it, and you're saved for eternity with Jesus Christ. You get to forget about all the sins. You don't have to carry that with you. He took it off. But you got to believe it. And you hear us all the time say, if you're going to believe God for your salvation, why wouldn't we believe him for our finance? Why wouldn't we believe him for our health? Why wouldn't we believe him for restoration in relationships? Why? We believe him for our eternal life. Well, guys, we got to practice it. We got to apply the word to the to building up our believing, to even more than maybe building up our believing, to cast out the doubts. Let's look at John 14:1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. That's Jesus. believe. We got to believe. We got to work at that. That, you know, when we believe in our heart and declare with our mouth that Jesus is Christ and that he rose from the dead, we're saved, right? And some of us do question that, and we have to remind ourselves that God does not go back on his word. He says so in scripture. That's where scripture is so important. It comes in so important, reading it for ourselves. We go and we look for who he is. He does not lie. He does not go back on his word. If he said it, he will do it. It doesn't matter how puny we are. It doesn't matter the bad choices other people made. If he said it, he will do it. And amen, amen. And Jim talked about this last week, Mark 11:22-23, in the King James. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Doubt is one that tries to sneak in there, in the long battle especially. Especially if we've made mistakes. Doubt tries to sneak in the door and say, well, you messed it up back there, so, you know, it's your fault. Except when we're God's. And I gave you guys homework. You're going to go read Psalm 139 this week. When you're God's, he goes behind you and he fixes the things you did and he goes ahead of you and he prepares a good way for you. Amen. That's the God we serve. But you got to get to know him. And then when the battle comes, you got to work those things. You got to speak those things and build your belief and cast out the doubt. And you maybe did it really successfully in a different situation. Now this situation comes and it hits even harder and deeper. And you got to do it again. Because what happens when we don't do stuff? We lose the skill. What happens when the battle comes and we don't fight? Well, we get trampled on, right? So we have to engage in that. We have to make that choice constantly. Renew that choice constantly and remind ourselves that we do believe in him. I was just venting to my husband and frustrated because there's some things we've been dealing with for a long time. And when you're doing all the stuff you know to do and you're like, I've been doing it for, you know, months or years and we're still coming back and it's smacking us in the face. And he's like, honey, why would the Lord bring us all this way and promise us all these things to just drop us now? And I'm like, but of course, that's the God I serve. But sometimes we need to be reminded of that. It's so good to be reminded. You have to remind yourself. That's why scripture confessions are so important. But sometimes somebody who loves you has to remind you. God doesn't drop his kids, guys. He does not drop his kids. He does not leave us. We are not orphans. We are his precious children. Read Psalm 139. Let's see, where are we at? I get excited sometimes. Yeah, let's go. Guys, let's go to 2 Timothy 1:12 in the New King James. 2 Timothy 1:12. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Important part. For I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until the day. Man, those two parts are important. I know whom I have believed, enemy, and you cannot convince me away from it. I will not stop believing. I know him, and he can keep the things that I've given to him. He can't keep the things we haven't given to him. He can't keep them if we take them back. He will keep the things we have committed to him. He doesn't drop his kids. And 2 Peter 1:3 and 4. In the NLT, 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. That everything means everything. All things. We have received all of this by coming to know him. The one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. Oh my gosh, that's a promise. And we know whom we believe, and we know he doesn't lie, and we know he loves us. We know we're the apple of his eye, because he says so in his scripture. We would be here forever if I put down all the things that God feels about us. It says that he dances over us with joy. That's one of the blessings. He loves us that much. He doesn't drop his kids. So we have to develop our believing when things get tough. We have to develop it. We work on it. The next one is speaking his word. If you are here once, you will hear us talk about speaking the word of God out loud. Amen. We are made in God's image. He made us like him. We can make our own choices, and we can speak. So we can speak life and death. He spoke the world into existence. He told us to be like him. He gave us authority on this earth. When Jesus died on the cross for us, he got that authority that Adam had lost back, and he gave it to us. And he said, you go, be my disciples. You go speak. You go do these things. In 2 Corinthians 4:13, in the Amplified, 2 Corinthians 4:13, yet we have the same spirit of faith as he who wrote, I have believed, and therefore I have spoken. We too believe, and therefore we speak. When we fill ourselves with the word of God about who he is and how he feels about us, and we speak it out of our mouth to the specific situation, we will have what we speak. We are emulating him. We are being like him. We believe, therefore we speak out loud, out loud. You know, in the beginning when I heard, you know, started learning about the importance of speaking the word of God, I kind of just like lobbed all scripture at the enemy and just, you know, all of it, blanket, say it all. And that's the way to start. It absolutely is the way to start. But as we mature in the Lord, we start learning how to really hear his Holy Spirit talking to us. We start being able to strategically choose what the Lord wants us to deal with right now. What is the root of the issue we're dealing with? And what is the scripture he wants us to say? And when we speak his scripture, we are putting the enemy on guard. Absolutely, we're putting the enemy on guard. We are speaking out loud and establishing who God is and his promises and our authority in him. But we're also changing our mindset. We're building ourselves up in our most holy faith. And that is very important because those doubts are going to try and come and assail us. And so the speaking and us hearing ourselves speak is so vitally important. And there's a lot more I could say there, but that's a whole teaching in itself. And if you come, you're going to get it all the time because we believe it to our very core, and it is life-changing. The last one we're going to go over is obey and act on his word and his personal instructions to us. Very simple, in John 14:15 in the Amplified, John 14:15, if you really love me, you will keep and obey my commands. I love it when God talks simple because there's just no getting around it. If you love me, you will obey me. When you're training your kids, you have to teach them through consequences when they're very little. But your desire is that as they mature, their heart changes to a point that it would actually hurt their heart to disobey you. That's the direction you go as you train children. And that's the Lord, too. He doesn't rain down consequences on us. We make those choices, and the natural consequences of poor choices are plenty uncomfortable. But we want to grow in our love for him to the point where we want to do it because we love him. We want to do it because it makes him happy. We want to bring joy to his heart by obeying him. And a wonderful result of that is things will go well with us. We will go down that path of abundance in life when we obey him and do the things he tells us. Let's look at James 2:17 in the Amplified Classic. And we looked at this last week. But it says, so also faith, if it does not have works, deeds and actions of obedience to back it up, by itself is destitute of power. It's inoperative and dead. We have to do what the Lord tells us to do. It takes a lot of practice. Faith without works is dead. But just because we think this is a really important one, this is one, again, that we as Christians kind of get entrapped in. Just because we think it's a good thing to do doesn't mean it's the thing God said. Just because somebody else did it and it was the right thing to do doesn't mean we should do it and it's the right thing to do. That's where that getting to know the Lord and hearing his voice is so vitally important, because we do the thing he told us to do in the specific situation and we get the full blessing and results because of that. And we don't do the things he didn't tell us to do. Man, you can wear yourself out doing good things that weren't God things. I have done it. It is miserable. It does not produce good fruit. And then you get frustrated. Why isn't it working? Well, let's back up. I love, my dad would always say, if you lose your peace, back up to the spot where you had it, find out where you went wrong, and then where the Lord wants you to go. It's amazing walking with a God who does not rain judgment down on you when you make a mistake. A God who's merciful. A God who loves us. A God who wants only the best for us. When we make a mistake, we need to quit it and apologize for it and then go on and forget it. But with him, all those things are possible. He can wipe away those things for us. He can help us go through the consequences easier than if we didn't do it with him. I mean, there is no end to God's ability to work in a situation. The whole obeying him often takes a lot of putting down of the flesh, because we're often overcoming hurts or bitternesses or angers or frustrations, because God knows that all those things that I just mentioned are only going to hurt us and hinder us. And so when he tells us to do something, it's to be freed from that stuff and walk away with it. So we have to make a different choice, which is a fleshly thing. So once again, speaking his word over us, knowing him and not walking around under condemnation, all of those things are so vitally important to functioning, to developing that obedience. Again, you know, when you're training your kids and they're little, they just kind of bing-boing around everywhere and you're just trying to corral them. But as they get older and you've trained them consistently, as we get more mature in the Lord and we've consistently been obedient and we've asked forgiveness when we weren't and gotten back on, pretty soon, immediate obedience. That's what I've been speaking over myself, because sometimes the things the Lord asks me to do are super uncomfortable for me, like standing up in front of a bunch of people and talking. So not my cup of tea naturally. So not my natural state. But every time I tell him, you know how much I love you. I know how much you love me. I know your spirit's going to flow through me, and I know your spirit's going to touch everyone's ears and hearts so they can hear your heart, whether I do it well or not. It's all about him, guys. But he does ask us often to do those things that are uncomfortable. And we got to be willing. And it's so much easier when you do it out of fear of ticking God off. It's a heavy burden. It's icky. The spirit doesn't flow well. When you do it because you really love him and you really trust him, it just flows. It doesn't matter if you have to apologize to someone. It doesn't matter what it is. It just flows. Because you're doing it because you love him, and that just opens up the spirit to flow through you. But it takes constant practice. Yes, constant practice. And what happens? let's say we're talking about, you know, I don't know, basketball or something. Let's say you were a basketball star. You practiced every single day for hours. You did. And let's say after, you know, 10 years of that, you went on to something else and you didn't practice that skill every day. You were good. You were at the top of the game. You were renowned in the country. But now it's been 10 years since you practiced that skill. You'll probably still be better than a lot of people, but are you still going to be as good as you were at the top of your game? No. If we stop practicing these skills, we lose that skill set. We lose the ability to do it excellently. However, if we keep doing it, there is no limit to how good we can get at it. And while it does take work and it does take effort, you do become better at it. And pretty soon, it'll just come out of you naturally because you've trained yourself. You've trained that mind pathway. You've trained your heart. You've been filling your heart up with the good things of the word, of who God is, that you believe him. You've been saying it out of your mouth, and the situation comes up, and you say, you know what? This isn't as bad as it looks. I know, because I know my God. I know there's a way through it. I might not know what that way is right now, but because I serve God, I know there's a way through it. We follow his precepts. We practice these skills with him, and we have guaranteed results. We have guaranteed results. Not very many things in this world are guaranteed, guys, especially the good ones. But with God, we absolutely have guaranteed results.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton. For more information, check out our website at www.lighthouseraton.com or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/lighthouseraton. Please join us in person at 10 a.m. Sunday mornings at our new location, 1310 South 2nd Street in Raton, New Mexico. You can support the Lighthouse Radio Ministry by giving online at www.lighthouseraton.com or send a check to 1310 South 2nd Street, Raton, New Mexico, 87740. Great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you, oh. My lighthouse, I will trust the promise, you will carry me safe to shore.